good evening, Truth Seeker, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. It's almost too much to address tonight. We're going to try our damnedest, but boy, you talk about being overwhelmed. First of all, a mention, and that's about all I can give it right now because we have other things that we want to get to. But the big dog did it again, didn't he? Bill Clinton went to North Korea and got the two journalists that worked for Al Gore's internet television network freed today. Already, John Bolton, on hearing that Clinton was going to North Korea, had published in the Washington Post a real nasty, typical right-wing Christian Nazi article about the futility of such a trip. Calm down, Mike. Jesus, God, calm down. It's hard to put enough emphasis on the absolute necessity of people in this country being willing to sit down and talk with people that we don't like in other countries in order to get events like this to happen. Now, the big argument now is, oh, well, does this mean that we're going to have to send somebody every time? Okay. Is there something wrong with that? I mean, we'll get to that later. Anyway, the big dog gets another success, doesn't he? Huh? So, just as I mentioned at the beginning of the program here, the story I really want to get to, Jeremy Scahill, writing at thenation.com, and a couple other sources around the net now are reporting the following story, and I'm going to have to give it to you pretty much verbatim. This is incredibly serious stuff. It ties into what I've been talking about. Take anything from Scahill's reporting or the story itself. I'm just saying, I've been talking for months, if not years, about the psychopathic Christian monsters in this country who are determined, absolutely determined, to murder as many people as they can so that their Lord and Savior, in all his fanged glory, will come swooping back, bathe the earth in blood. And I don't know, this whole Christian cult is really, really working on me. And the main reason is because I came out of it having been brought up a Baptist and a Methodist. But this cannibalistic blood cult that is Christianity has now been taken over completely by this insane right-wing, religious and political right-wing that insists that Jesus Christ is a rabid dog who only wants to kill anyone who doesn't agree with him. And these sons of bitches talk about jihad. They talk about Muslims saying that infidels should die. This is it's incredible what they're trying to do to the planet. That's all I can say. The newest son of a bitch in this pantheon of sons of bitches is Eric Prince, the head of Blackwater and a member of the DeVos family, the people who own Amway, a member of a family that is one of the premier families in America of right-wing, neo-Nazi, blood and gore, psychopathic Christianity. Here he is, Eric Prince. What's going on is a former Blackwater, and this is Jeremy Scahill, writing at thenation.com, has got this out. A former Blackwater employee and an ex-U.S. Marine, both of them, who have worked as security operatives for the company, Blackwater, have made a series of explosive allegations in sworn statements filed yesterday in federal court in Virginia. The two men claim that the company's owner, Eric Prince, may have murdered or facilitated the murder of individuals who were cooperating with federal authorities investigating the company. The former employee also alleges that Prince, quote, views himself as a Christian crusader tasked with eliminating Muslims and the Islamic faith from the globe, end quote, and that Prince's companies, quote, encouraged and rewarded the destruction of Iraqi life, end quote. In their testimony, both men also alleged that Blackwater was smuggling weapons into Iraq, One of the men alleges that Prince turned a profit by transporting illegal or unlawful weapons into the country on Prince's private planes. They also charge that Prince and other Blackwater executives destroyed incriminating videos, emails, and other documents and have intentionally deceived the U.S. State Department and other federal agencies. The identities of these two individuals, the former Blackwater employee and a former U.S. Marine, the identities of the individuals were sealed out of concerns for their lives. These allegations and a series of other charges are contained in sworn affidavits given under penalty of perjury filed late last night in the Eastern District of Virginia court as part of a 70-page motion by lawyers for Iraqi civilians suing Blackwater for alleged war crimes and other misconduct. Susan Burke, a private attorney working in conjunction with the Center for Constitutional Rights, is suing Blackwater in five separate civil cases filed in the Washington, D.C. area. They were recently consolidated before Judge T.S. Ellis III of the Eastern District for pretrial motions. Burke filed the August 3rd motion in response to Blackwater's motion to dismiss the case. Blackwater asserts that Prince and the company are innocent of any wrongdoing and that they were professionally performing their duties on behalf of their employer, U.S. State Department. The former employee, identified in the court document as John Doe No. 2, is a former member of Blackwater's management, according to a source close to the case. Doe No. 2 alleges in a sworn statement that based on information provided to him by former colleagues, quote, it appears that Mr. Prince and his employees murdered or had murdered one or more persons who have provided information or who were planning to provide information to the federal authorities about the ongoing criminal conduct of this company, end quote. John 2 No. 2 says he worked at Blackwater for 4 years. His identity is concealed in the sworn declaration because he, quote, fears violence against me in retaliation for submitting this declaration, end quote. He also alleges, quote, on several occasions after my departure from Mr. Prince's employ, Mr. Prince's management has personally threatened me with death and violence, end quote. In a separate sworn statement, the former U.S. Marine who worked for Blackwater in Iraq alleges that he has, quote, learned from my Blackwater colleagues and former colleagues that one or more persons who have provided information or who were planning to provide information about Eric Prince and Blackwater have been killed. Identified as John Doe No. 1, he says he, quote, joined Blackwater and deployed to Iraq to guard State Department and other American government personnel, end quote. It is not clear if Doe No. 1 is still working with the company, as he states he is, quote, scheduled to deploy in the immediate future to Iraq, end quote. Like Doe No. 2, he states that he fears violence against him for submitting his declaration. Doe No. 2 states further, quote, Mr. Prince feared and continues to fear that the federal authorities will detect and prosecute his various criminal deeds. On more than one occasion, Mr. Prince and his top managers gave orders to destroy emails and other documents. Many incriminating videotapes, documents, and emails have been shredded and destroyed, end quote. Doe No. 2 states in his declaration that he has also provided the information contained in his statement, quote, in grand jury proceedings convened by the United States Department of Justice, end quote. Federal prosecutors convened a grand jury in the aftermath of the September 16, 2007, Nisour Square shootings in Baghdad, which left 17 Iraqis dead. Five Blackwater employees are awaiting trial on several manslaughter charges, and a sixth, Jeremy Ridgway, has already pleaded guilty to manslaughter and attempting to commit manslaughter and is cooperating with prosecutors. It's not clear whether Doe No. 2 testified in front of the Nisour Square grand jury or in front of a separate grand jury. Now, there's more here, and again, I think it's very important, it is to me anyway, to bring this out. We are under attack in this country. We are under attack, literally, by enemies of everything that is decent and good in this country, what's left of the decent and good stuff. By Christian crazy people who want blood, they want death, they want destruction. They're after Obama. They're after anybody and anything that is not, according to their twisted psychopathic minds, is not Christian proper. And Christianity to them, of course, is a blood cult. It's a death cult. It's cannibalistic. And these goddamn freaks are serious.
Behaving right, I don't mean to bust your groove. Think it's time we made a move. Freedom isn't free tonight. Freedom isn't free
tonight. 21 past the hour. What I am quoting from here is an article that's at thenation.com, written by Jeremy Scahill, about the Blackwater founder, Eric Prince, sworn testimony stating that Prince and other members of his management team were involved in murder, Christian psychopathology, and so on and so forth. If you want to, you can do this because it's already up at Wikipedia. Go to wikipedia.org. Is it .org? Yeah. And just type in Eric Prince, and you'll get all the information you could possibly want. Now, these two declarations that were sworn affidavits that were entered into the Eastern District Court in Northern Virginia last night. The two declarations are each 5 pages long, contain a series of allegations concerning Eric Prince and his network of companies, which now operate under the name XE Services LLC. Among those leveled by Doe number two is that Prince views himself, this is a quote, views himself as a Christian crusader tasked with eliminating Muslims and the Islamic faith from the globe. End quote. To that end, Mr. Prince intentionally deployed to Iraq certain men who shared his vision of Christian supremacy, knowing and wanting these men to take every available opportunity to murder Iraqis. Many of these men used call signs based on the Knights of the Templar, the warriors who fought the Crusades. Mr. Prince operated his companies in a manner that encouraged and rewarded the destruction of Iraqi life. For example, Prince's executives would openly speak about going over to Iraq to, quote, lay Hajis out on a cardboard, end quote. Going to Iraq to shoot and kill Iraqis was viewed as a sport or a game. Mr. Prince's employees openly and consistently used racist and derogatory terms for Iraqis and other Arabs, such as ragheads or Hajis. Among the additional allegations made by Doe number one is that Blackwater was smuggling weapons into Iraq, end quote. He states that he personally witnessed weapons being pulled out from dog food bags. Doe number two alleges that, quote, Prince and his employees arranged for the weapons to be polywrapped and smuggled into Iraq on Mr. Prince's private planes, which operated under the name Presidential Airlines, end quote. He added that Eric Prince, quote, generated substantial revenues from participating in the illegal arms trade, end quote. Doe number two states, quote, using his various companies, Prince procured and distributed various weapons, including unlawful weapons such as sawed-off semi-automatic machine guns with silencers through unlawful channels of distribution. Blackwater was not abiding by the terms of the contract with the State Department and was deceiving the State Department, end quote, according to Doe one. Now, this is not the first time an allegation about Blackwater smuggling weapons into Iraq. ABC News' Brian Ross reported in November 2008 that a, quote, federal grand jury in North Carolina is investigating allegations that the controversial private security firm Blackwater illegally shipped assault weapons and silencers to Iraq, hidden in large sacks of dog food, end quote. Doe number two further states in these affidavits that some Blackwater officials overseas refused to deploy unfit men and sent them back to the U.S. Among the reasons cited by Doe number two were, quote, the men making statements about wanting to deploy to Iraq to kill ragheads or achieve kills or body counts, as well as excessive drinking and steroid use. However, when the men returned to the U.S., according to Doe number two, quote, Prince and his executives would send them back to be deployed in Iraq with an express instruction to the concerned employees located overseas that they needed to, quote, stop costing the company money, end quote. Doe number two also says Prince, quote, repeatedly ignored the assessments done by mental health professionals and instead terminated those mental health professionals who were not willing to endorse deployment of unfit men, end quote. Doe number two says Prince and then company president Gary Jackson, quote, hid from Department of State the fact that they were deploying men to Iraq over the objections of mental health professionals and security professionals in the field, saying they knew the men being deployed were not suitable candidates for carrying lethal weaponry, but did not care because deployments meant more money. End quote. Doe number one states in the affidavit that, quote, Blackwater knew that certain of his personnel intentionally used excessive and unjustified deadly force, and in some instances used unauthorized weapons to kill or seriously injure innocent Iraqi civilians. Blackwater did nothing to stop this misconduct, end quote. Doe number one states that, quote, he personally observed multiple incidents of Blackwater personnel intentionally using unjustified deadly force, end quote. He then cites several specific examples of Blackwater personnel firing at civilians, killing them, and then failing to report the incidents to the State Department. Doe number one also alleges that, quote, all of these incidents of excessive force were initially videotaped and voice recorded, but that, quote, immediately after the day concluded, we watched the video in a session called a hot wash. Immediately after the hot washing, the video was erased to prevent anyone other than Blackwater personnel seeing what had actually occurred, end quote. Doe number two expands on the issue of unconventional weapons, and I'll pick up on this when we come back after the break. This is astonishing stuff, but I think it's very clear that there has been a satanic marriage of Christian Reconstructionists, Christian Armageddonists in this country, and the Republican Party, and these murderous right-wing neo-Nazis. This is going to be a rough ride, folks.
How many Iraqis per gallon? On this endless killing spree. How many kids can you kill? Send the lower class the bill so you can drive your kids to soccer practice in your SUV.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour, we're talking about revelations that hit the web last night. It's at thenation.com. Jeremy Scahill. It's also already at Wikipedia. The head of Blackwater, Eric Prince, implicated in mass murder in Iraq. And also the fact that Eric Prince views himself as a Christian crusader and is tasked by Christ or God with eliminating Muslims and the Islamic faith from the globe. And to reach that end, Prince intentionally sent to Iraq certain men who shared his vision of Christian supremacy. And knowing that these psychopaths that he unleashed wanted to kill Muslims, wanted to kill Iraqis. The men used call signs based on the Knights of the Templar, the warriors who fought the Crusades. Prince's executives openly talked about going over to Iraq to murder Hajis, and constantly referred to Iraqis and other Arabs using derogatory racist terms. These are some sick sons of bitches. But going back to this thing, the two men, a former employee of a management team of Eric Prince and a former Marine who have in sworn testimony as a result of civil suits, have laid this testimony out. One can only hope that this pig will get indicted soon. Anyway, back to some of the testimony. John Doe number two expands on the issue of unconventional weapons, alleging Prince made available to his employees in Iraq weapons not authorized by the U.S. contracting authorities, hand grenades and hand grenade launchers. Mr. Prince's employees repeatedly used this illegal weaponry in Iraq, unnecessarily killing scores of innocent Iraqis. Specifically, Doe number two alleges that Prince, quote, obtained illegal ammunition from an American company called LEMAS, L-E-M-A-S. This company sold ammunition designed to explode after penetrating the human body. Mr. Prince's employees repeatedly used this illegal ammunition in Iraq to inflict maximum damage on Iraqis, end quote. Now, let me digress. Remember what these filthy animals, these Christers, why they were contracted by, allegedly anyway, the story given the American public, contracted by Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld, was to provide security to U.S. State Department personnel in Iraq. That was not their intent at all, and I doubt seriously if the Bush crime family really believed their own lie that was put out there for public consumption. The real intent of Blackwater, this private army, was to murder people, specifically, categorically, to murder people. If they provided security to State Department personnel as an afterthought, it was just that, an afterthought. These people are killers, only the worst kind. These are religious, fanatic murderers. Anyway, it goes on, and then it closes by saying, briefed on the substance of these allegations by the nation, and remember, these allegations just popped up last night, Congressman Dennis Kucinich replied to the nation, quote, if these allegations are true, Blackwater has been a criminal enterprise defrauding taxpayers and murdering innocent civilians. Kucinich went on to say, Blackwater is a law unto itself, both internationally and domestically. The question is why they operated with impunity. In addition to Blackwater, we should be questioning their patrons in the previous administration who funded and employed this organization. Blackwater wouldn't exist without federal patronage. These allegations should be thoroughly investigated. Dennis Kucinich, end quote. A hearing before Judge Ellis in the civil cases against Blackwater is scheduled for Friday. Now, the patrons of this international terrorist organization, of course, were the State Department, John Bolton, George Bush, Dick Cheney, Libby, you know the gang. You know who they are. You know what they've done. And this is one of the reasons for the Obama administration to say that there's not going to be any investigations on the massive criminal enterprise. You know what this does? I mean, this whole thing, it makes Dick Nixon look like a Sunday school teacher who got caught touching the underwear of some nine-year-old in the public bathroom. That's what this compares to. Not that that's not serious, but you understand what I'm saying. This is a Christo-fascist organization. We were just talking last night about the what's the group? The Family, this religious gang of psychopaths who have taken over huge chunks of the U.S. House and Senate, who are being appointed by Barack Obama to faith-based organizations that are supposed to take taxpayer money and distribute to more of these bumbling goddamn Christian freaks. I mean, this is beyond belief. This is beyond belief. To think that this is what they have done to the Christian faith. This is what they have done. And I'll tell you, if there is a minister in this country, Catholic or Protestant, I don't care the denomination, who does not come out Sunday and hasn't come out last week and last year and condemned these people, not just Eric Prince and his band of killers, but this whole Christian right, Jesus is a hungry vampire movement that is so prevalent now. I mean, it's astonishing. Any pastor, minister, priest who has not come out and condemned this is participating in his silence, in the same thing that Martin Niemöller said about the Nazis back in the 30s in Germany. These American preachers are remaining silent at a time when they should be screaming from their pulpits about the mayhem and chaos and murder that's being perpetrated in the name of their Lord and Savior. Now, if you remember, General Petraeus, when he was in Iraq, lost, quote, over 170,000 weapons. His close aide, Lieutenant Colonel Lavanda Self, pled guilty to accepting bribes in connection with gun smuggling operations. At around the same time, his subordinate, Colonel Theodore Westhusing, was found dead in Iraq, apparently a suicide. A note found by him said he could not, quote, support a mission that leads to corruption, human rights abuses, and liars, end quote, and that he didn't know who to trust among his superiors anymore. Now, there are 154 open criminal investigations into allegations of bribery, conflicts of interest, defective products, bid-ridding, theft in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Kuwait. Jonathan Landay of McClatchy Newspapers said in a March 2009 interview that he believes U.S. officials, not U.S. contractors, but U.S. officials are complicit and involved in the widespread corruption in all three of these countries. I'll tell you. Now, Eric Prince's father co-founded the Family Research Council with Gary Bauer. Remember that turtle-looking son of a bitch who ran for president, Gary Bauer? Prince is the brother of his sister is Betsy DeVos is her married name, former chairwoman of the Michigan Republican Party, and the wife of former Amway president Dick DeVos. She is the son of Richard DeVos Sr., who in 2007 Forbes listed as one of the richest men on earth with a net worth of approaching $3 billion. There's more. Prince serves as vice president of the Edgar and Elsa Prince Foundation. Salon magazine reports that between July 2003 and July 2006, the foundation gave at least $670,000 to the Family Research Council and $531,000 to Focus on the Family, headed by James Dobson. The foundation is also a major donor to Calvin College, which is a Christian neo-Nazi institution in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Prince also serves as a board member of Christian Freedom International, a group with a mission of, quote, helping Christians who are persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ, end quote. Son of a bitch. Really? Where? Here? Oh, my. Since 1998, Prince has personally donated $250,000 to Republican causes. He is a donor along with beverage company Bolthouse Farms through the Bolthouse Foundation to the Allied Defense Fund, another conservative Christian legal group. And it just goes on and on and on. I don't know where to go with this or where to stop or, what to do with it. This is madness. I mean, it really is. And it's the end result. And the reason this gets my attention so quickly and so clearly is, as you know, I'm licensed to carry a handgun, any kind of a weapon, mostly a handgun, and I do. By the way, when you're researching Prince, research Kofor Black when you go to Wikipedia. The reason I carry a weapon with me most of the time when I'm in public, and sometimes more than one, is because of the threats that I got in the mid-90s, 93 and 94, from the religious right here in Georgia, in Cobb County, Georgia. It got so bad that the Atlanta Police Department advised me to get licensed and carry a weapon. And so for the past 15, 18 years, this has been a central focus for me because of my personal death threats. These people, I'm telling you, Truth Seeker, they are out to destroy the country. It's that simple. And if they have their way, the world, so that their sick version of their savior will slide down this huge mountain of corpses and take everybody to paradise.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Ain't no doubt about it, baby. It's you I am to be. 10 before the hour. Shortly after all this went online, the nation.com website was having some severe bandwidth problems. I don't know if you can get there now, but If you want the entire article, Jeremy Scahill, writing at The Nation, has it. As far as anyone else reporting it, nobody came up with this at all tonight on the alleged news, this garbage that the networks put out that passes for news. Oberman brought it up, and I don't know if Rachel Maddow program did. And some people say, well, they didn't have time. The assignment editors or the supervising editors at ABC, CBS, and NBC didn't have time to get on tonight's program. That's a bunch of hog snot. If Jeremy Scahill has time to write an article and get it posted, if Wikipedia people have the time to get it on their website, the networks could have bumped one of their stories about, I don't know, whatever garbage they had out there tonight. I watched both NBC and ABC's newscasts. I don't remember, except their lead stories were about Clinton, Bill Clinton, going to North Korea and getting these two reporters released. And the part that sticks out of my mind is both he, what's his name? Who's the guy? Charlie Gibson on ABC, as the hoe from Wasilla refers to him, Charlie. He and Brian Williams both brought up the issue that they have to pepper their stories with negativity where it concerns anything, apparently, that is done on this planet to try to avoid confrontation and nuclear disaster. The question both networks brought up was whether or not this would interfere with or take some thunder away from Hillary Clinton's trip to visit seven nations, I believe it was seven in Africa. These rapacious son of a bitches, I'm getting to the point where it's very clear, and I think it's clear to you. Eventually, Truth Seeker, you're going to have to fight. And so am I. You know this as well as I do. You know what we're heading toward, don't you? You really, really, really do. Deep in your gut, you know where all of this is rolling. You are going to have to defend, whatever you believe to be worth defending in this country, and by whatever means you choose to defend it, because if you don't, it's clear there is no doubt. Please don't even pretend there's no doubt that this corporate Christian neo-Nazi, that's three different entities that have absolutely just about subsumed this country 100% beneath their illness. Either you are going to accept it and just let it roll over you and live your life according to their dictates, or you're going to fight. There is no middle ground. I can remember about 3 years ago when I still worked for that filthy Air America, I made the comment one night, half in jest, but most of it in anger, because there was just seemed to be no resistance to anything the Bush crime family was doing. And I said, you know, you can ask the Germans, there aren't probably that many left now, but the Germans in the 20s and 30s in Germany, if you weren't a trade unionist or a communist or a socialist or a Jew, living under fascism was not all that bad. As long as you were willing to give your sons and daughters to the Hitler Youth, as long as you were willing to do what your parish priest or your Lutheran minister told you to do, and as long as you were willing to not protest, as long as you were willing to sit on your goddamn ass and let all of this happen, let all of the death camps be built, let all of Germany be led into the maw of hell. If you were willing to do that for about 12 years, he had a pretty good life. The fat industrialists got fatter. The war machine got stronger. The military-industrial complex was just rolling in money. Everybody was doing just wonderful. Of course, we all know what happened. But it cost the deaths of 50 million people on this earth. 50 million is the estimate of how many people died during World War II. Okay, the Japanese had some, forget the Japanese, all right? But 50 million people were murdered as a result of World War II. Now, we're on the cusp of, just some horrendous events. You know it. You don't need me to tell you. Like Bob Dylan said, you don't need to be a weatherman to know which way the wind is blowing. you know what's coming. You know it is. I mean, I've got several contributors to this program who send me emails that I share with you who make it very clear. There is no doubt that this entrenched, murderous, corporatist, Christian, quotes around the word Christian, I still do that, a right-wing, Republican, neo-Nazism in this country put out there by filth like Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and this whole cadre of, what's his name, Lou Dobbs now is in that pantheon of psychopaths. You know what's coming. You feel it. You know it's going to happen. And if you don't know it, it's because you have found solace and refuge in denial. You are so deeply embedded in it, you can't even breathe any longer. So you just accept the fact that you can't breathe any longer and be like a good German and just say, well, you know, Sieg Heil, I guess. Sieg Heil? Okay, Sieg Heil. You know it. And I know it. You know it's coming, and you know you're going to have to declare yourself at one point. You know this. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back, 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy Program. All right, that was kind of a weird hour because of this this testimony, the sworn testimony yesterday in last evening, as a matter of fact, in district court for the for Eastern Virginia. Testimony that clearly links a Christian Nazi, Eric Prince, with murder, mayhem, slaughter, death, destruction, which is so true. How so many of these so-called Christians remember the generals who said that the devil could be seen in the clouds over Somalia. These are sick people, and they are hell-bent on fulfilling the sick prognostications that John of Patmos put in the Book of Revelation. That is a horse, just nonsense. I mean, it's crazy stuff. The best interpretation of what he was writing about was allegorical writing about the government of Rome. But these Christian maniacs have turned this into the guiding light of their corrupt religion. And Christianity has gone from being a religion of peace, which it was for about the first 2 centuries, into a religion of blood, death, destruction, cannibalism, the most outrageous things you can think of. It's just, and anyone who disagrees, all you need to do is look at the history of the church. Oh, my God. I mean, come on. But there is good news. I went to Glenn Beck's program on the Fox Network today as he was parodying in his sick way Barack Obama's birthday. And I have good news to report. Glenn Beck appears ever closer to suicide. I'm hoping that he does it on camera. Suicide is rampant in his family. And given his alcoholism and his tendencies toward self-destruction, I am only hoping that when Glenn Beck does put a gun to his head and pull the trigger, that it's on television. Because somebody will capture it on YouTube, and it will be the most popular little piece of video for months. Glenn Beck killing himself. Limbaugh is back on drugs. All you have to do is look at this throat fat clotted pig to realize that since the conservative political action horse gathering of jerkwads back in, when was it, March, April, when he bounced in his disco suit, from then until now, he seems to have lost about 35 or 40 pounds. Now, there's no diet on earth that can do that and keep you upright except OxyContin. So Limbaugh is back on drugs. Now, he's already destroyed his hearing. Let's see how long it'll be before he destroys his vision. I'm hoping that it'll be sometime this year that happens. And Lou Dobbs is, I mean, this guy is absolutely going crazy, one would think, from listening to him. But if you watch Lou Dobbs close enough, and I used to work at his network. I've never met Mr. Dobbs, but I know all sorts of stuff about him. And if you look closely, the next time, if you have high definition, I'm sure you do on your television, on your cable, your satellite, look at him closely. Look at the part of his face where his hairline joins his forehead, and you'll see very fine stitching. What is going on here is Lou Dobbs is about to peel away his face on camera and reveal his inner reptile. And it's going to leap at the camera person at CNN, devour the camera person, and then start eating whoever his guests are, whatever hapless VJs, video jocks, happen to be around, running cameras, little interns, or people working for $7.50 an hour. He's going to go after all of them. This reptile that exists inside the Lou Dobbs costume is going to come out. So, yeah, there is good news tonight for sure. I hope that's carried live, too. Michael says that the Scahill article is also at alternet.org. Alternet.org. Oh, Christ, we have one of these. Mike is calling from Dover, Delaware. Yes, Mike.
Hey, Mike, how are you? I was mad, but that rant just went on. It was pretty funny. I'm a conservative right-winger, but that was actually very entertaining. I was laughing while listening. That was cool.
Do
you really think Limbaugh's on drugs again?
Obviously he's on drugs. Take a look at him.
That guy's hurting, man. That's bad.
Okay, what'd you call about, Mike?
No, you know, I was just driving here. I was listening to the first part of the program, and you stopped me up here, because that was definitely funny what you're saying. But, you know, when you're saying Christian Nazi and all that, I mean, that's somewhat of an oxymoron, I would hope. And you're kind of throwing blanket statements out, a lot of vagaries. And,
all right, tell me, Mike, tell me where I'm wrong. Rather than tell me that what I'm saying is oxymoronic, tell me where I'm wrong. Go ahead.
Okay. Were any Nazis that you knew of Christians? I mean, was that a Christian?
Are you serious? All right, Mike, I'm going to hang up on you, and I'll tell you why. Because you're displaying to me the one thing that I can't stand when somebody calls my program, and that is ignorance that is a mile deep and 100 miles wide. If you're going to ask me about if the Nazi movement was Christian, then all I can say to you is go do your research and call me back in about 3 months. Now, the reason I'm hanging up on you is because I don't want to eviscerate you. I don't want your guts spilling out on the highway while you're driving, which is what would happen. There is ignorance, Mike, and then there is butt-level ignorance. And what you're displaying is butt-level ignorance if you don't understand the history of Germany, the history of the church in Germany, Lutheran and Catholic, and the Nazi alignment with the church and with the Church of Rome, with the popes. You need, apparently you've never gone online, done a Google, do a Google, Mike, on photographs, and then put in the plus sign, and then put priests, Nazis. And what you will get, Mike, will be an absolute menu of photos of German priests, German archbishops, Roman Catholic Lutherans, all standing with the Hitler crowd, with their arms raised in the Sieg Heil salute. So, Mike, don't call my program again with a statement like that or a question like that until you do some research. This is easy stuff, Mike. You don't even have to go to the library anymore. Just go home, drive safely, get on a good search engine, and do what I told you. And then after you have educated yourself about this, about Nazism and the Christian religion, call me back in a couple of months. And then maybe, depending on your attitude, maybe we'll talk. Goodbye, Mike. Have a nice evening. Ed is in Redondo Beach, California. Ed?
Well, good evening, Mike. I'm glad to hear that Eric Holder might actually be doing something about something. I was beginning to wonder if much of anything would be done to address all the stuff that had happened before. But
now, wait, you lost me there.
All the crimes of the Bush crowd. But
what's he doing?
Well, it sounds like they're taking some statements and.
Well, no, this is a civil lawsuit.
Oh.
I don't know to what extent the Justice Department is involved. I don't think they are. This is a civil lawsuit being handled by civil attorneys, representing Iraqi families. Because the U.S. government will do nothing. Iraqi families who are suing, and again, this is civil action, not criminal. The stuff I shared with you, courtesy of Jeremy Scahill, and the nation, is what's coming out in the depositions that have been taken, and the testimony, the grand jury testimony, not grand jury, but the testimony taken in open court, by these, this former Marine and this ex-Blackwater employee, who are witnesses in the civil action. So far, the U.S. Justice Department, I think there might be a couple of congressional investigations into Blackwater, but as far as I know, the U.S. Justice Department is doing nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Justice is still on hold with the Justice Department.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, listen, I actually called about something a little bit different, but not entirely unrelated, and that's the...
Well, can I get you to hold on? All right, let me put you on hold, Ed, and I'll come back right after this break. This is the Molloy Program. Stick around.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Molloy.
Past the hour. We're talking with Ed in Redondo Beach, California. All right, Ed, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Mike. What I was actually wanted to talk to you a little bit about was these town hall meetings that are getting busted up by the teabaggers.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean... You know your history. You know what the brown shirts used to do with their opposition party meetings.
Mm-hmm.
The exact same tactics, you know.
Exactly the same.
Exactly the same. And, you know, what I decided to do is actually call the mothership organizations for these folks up and give them a little piece of my mind. And I heartily recommend everybody else doing it because it felt really good to do today. And so I looked up Americans for Prosperity Foundation. And they've got a toll-free number you can everybody can call tomorrow. It's 866-730-0150. And then the other outfit is Freedom Works. And
oh, that one is a real nest of vipers.
Yeah, if you call their toll-free number, you get into a phone tree, but they have a direct line in D.C., which is 202-783-3870. And basically, I called both these guys outfits and told them exactly what I thought about them using Nazi tactics, and that they ought to be ashamed of themselves, and that I thought personally that it was all going to backfire on them, because that sort of stuff doesn't go down in America, and at least not the kind of America that most of us belong to.
What kind of answer did you get to that?
Well, after I kind of ran out of steam after about 3 or 4 minutes and my tirade was over, I got a very curt and polite thank you very much goodbye. But but it I think that the guy's ear was probably ringing a bit, and I think that if they got a few more calls like that, it might, at the very least, drive home the point that these 18%ers, that are doing these things, they'll maybe come to realize that they're the minority that they are, because that's who these folks are. These are the 18% that like Dick Cheney.
Yeah. All right. Now give those. I'm going to get a lot of emails to people say, what were the phone numbers?
Yeah.
Get the names of the organizations and the phone numbers again, if you don't mind, and go slow, or go slowly, so that folks can write them down. What's the first organization?
Okay. They're both actually run by Dick Armey. The first one is Americans for Prosperity Foundation.
Americans for Prosperity Foundation.
And they've got a D.C. number, which is 202-349-5880. And then they've also got a toll-free number, which is 866-730-0150.
Okay, and then the other organization is
the Freedom Works.
Freedom Works.
And their DC number is area code 202-783-3870. And then they also have a toll-free number, which when I tried it, I wound up in a phone tree.
Yeah, don't give that one. Most people have free long distance now anyway. So
And
both of these are run by Dick Armey.
Yeah, exactly so.
That figures. And you know what? I'll bet it won't be a week before we'll see Dick Armey's smarmy face on television. The networks keep bringing him back, but that's what these networks do, because they're in on it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. But, at the very least, they ought to feel some of the heat that they're spreading around elsewhere come back to blow on them. So,
I hear you.
If you play with fire, watch out, you might get burned.
Yeah, well, one can hope. All right, thanks, Ed.
Hey, take care, Mike.
All right, I appreciate the information. You take care, too. ABC's website back in November reported that six Blackwater employees are under investigation by a federal grand jury in Washington in connection with the shooting deaths of 17 civilians in Iraq in September 2007. And back then, at ABC's website, it said prosecutors are expected to return indictments in the next few weeks, according to people familiar with the case. That was November 2008. Oh, my God. George in Oregon writes, regarding the Prince of Darkness, Mike, I don't think the average citizen realizes how totally amoral people like Prince are. The end, their being totally in charge, justifies any means they decide to use to get there. This collusion between the religious fanatics and the corporatists will be the end of this republic, if we let it happen. Too many of our brothers and sisters are brain dead because of the garbage they allow to be pumped into their heads by the corporate media and the Christian dominionists. There will either be a revolution, hopefully peaceful, or a Christo-fascist USA, and the end of life as we know it. Congress is far too compromised by corporate money and general cowardice to do anything. It's going to be up to us, you and me. Let's hope. George in Oregon.
It's sworn to secrecy. Its business is no business of the likes of you and me. Nobody knows who's in it. They've been carefully selected by partisan appointees who themselves were not elected. The old top-level meetings at undisclosed locations to suspend the Constitution and sustain the corporation. Their minutes, notes, and memos can't be shared. And by the way, does anybody know the current whereabouts of Kenneth Lay? Oh, it's national security, of the public scrutiny, policy of legal coup d'etat.
Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Email here from the Foxhole Atheist, who writes, Mike, if World War II cost 50 million lives, another American Civil War will cost over 100 million, all of them American. We liberals do not talk about it because we know what the cost will be. The reason we keep using political action is because we don't want to be the ones to cause that level of death. This means that when the fascists succeed in fomenting revolution, the blood will be on their hands. Unfortunately, this means we have to let those sick bastards instigate the first major battle. My advice is to remember where the right-wingers live in your town. When it starts, wait for them to leave their house and go in and collect their extra guns and ammo. Yeah, that's a good idea. I wonder how much of this program is going to wind up on Freeper website. And apparently the Free Republic and some of these other right-wing outhouses on the Internet monitor the program, probably record it, and they take off sound bites and then put up a website, or somebody types up a transcript. No, they can't type. They just put up the sound. And then I'll get emails, which are great fun, from the mouth breathers, the booger eaters, these people that think Rush Limbaugh is God and that Glenn Beck is his son and Holy Ghost or whatever. As a matter of fact, we sent in a new Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag video to Ben earlier this evening that has a couple letters, one of them from one of these freaks. So to the freerepublic.com people and, the you Christo-fascists out there who, are just as sick as you can be, who are recording the program, good for you. I mean, every time that happens, I get two or three emails, which I love to use as, fodder for, the parodies that we put up. I'll say it again. I can't believe that I live in the same country with some of these scum. It's just amazing to me. Shane is calling from upstate New York. Hey, Shane.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Hey, you sound better. Are you feeling better finally?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Good to hear it. I was calling about the point you made about the article by Jeremy Scahill.
Yeah.
And it's also on Raw Story now
uh-huh.
as well. And,
right.
I got to tell you, this guy's got some courage. You know, I've been watching this. I've been watching him write these articles following Blackwater for a long time now, years, I believe.
Jeremy, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Right.
And this guy's got some courage, and it's nice to see after on the mainstream media for so long now, there hasn't been any investigative journalism, so to speak.
Right.
And I've also been diminishing him in a lot of the major newspapers. So it's,
Well, I think part of that, Shane, let me just comment if I will. Part of that is because mainstream media is part of they're part of the problem.
Yeah.
To them, Eric Prince and Blackwater is a private security force that was about protecting U.S. State Department. And here's the crazy part. If independent investigative reporters, whether it's Brad Friedman or Greg Palast or, Jeremy Scahill or, there's 8 or 10 of them whose names are, well known people who don't accept the mainstream lies and BS. If these guys can get the stories, so can the vast news department at CBS, ABC or NBC, but they don't. And the reason they don't is because they are not allowed to. That's all. It's very simple. They are clearly told, don't you goddamn know go near that story. And they don't.
Yeah.
because they are not in the business of news. They are in the business of horse hockey and making people like you and me, or attempting to make people like you and me, brain dead and make us forget everything. So that's the reason. There is no investigative journalism any longer to speak of on any network television. It stopped a long time ago.
Oh, do you think they'll try and take over the internet and shut that down if this keeps up?
No, I don't see how that could be done. I really don't. And besides, I think at that point there would be open warfare. Thanks, Shane. Appreciate what you had to say. I'm just concerned about this garbage as you are. About an hour ago, according to news reports we're getting now from the suburb of Pittsburgh, guy walked into a L.A. fitness center and a dance class, a Latin dance class in the aerobic center. He walked in. It was maybe 100 women inside the class. These are early reports. Most of this is coming from Channel 4 in Pittsburgh. He had a huge bag. You know where the story's going. He set it on the floor, turned off the lights, whipped out handguns, and opened fire. So far, five people dead, and they're not sure how many people are in critical condition who were taken to local hospitals. A Channel 4 news photographer said about an hour ago that the entire shopping center was shut down. He reported seeing as many as 15 ambulances, 20 police cars on the site, blah, blah, blah. So... well, it turns out that this guy was some kind of a Christian right-winger who saw health clubs as spawn of Satan. You know that's going to happen, don't you? Bill is in Beaver County, PA. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Just to let you know, my dad and I think that you're the greatest. You're the God, not Rush Limbaugh.
No. It's just a radio program, Bill.
I know.
I know you know.
I cannot miss one of your shows. We go flip it and get pissed off with each other. But actually, that story you just read just a few moments ago there about Pittsburgh, I'm only about 45 minutes away from there. And
What do you know? Is it on your television?
Yeah, actually, I'm in my car right now. I've seen it on TV before I left the house. I mean, it's just bad. I mean, it's up in Caller's Way.
Uh-huh.
It's up by, it's little south of Pittsburgh there. It's just a mess.
Yeah, yeah.
But getting back to the gun thing, you had, a little earlier ago, you said about, you carry your own gun, you know, you have one.
Oh, yeah, I have.
I also,
yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
I have one myself, you know. There's a story in Beaver County not too while ago when Barack Obama was in town. A guy got arrested for carrying a handgun to one of his rallies.
Mm-hmm.
Not off, though, but, you know, I do carry my own weapon myself.
Mm-hmm.
The Watergate thing, everybody's talking about that whole BS, I think is bull crap. I think the media is going AWOL on it. But
no. What on what?
On what you were talking about, the water.
Oh, Blackwater.
Yeah, Blackwater. That's it. Yeah, with the media and all that. Like everybody took the words out of my mouth already.
What's your take on it, Bill? What do you think?
I think the media is just way too going way out of proportion with that. You know,
with
it's
what?
Not right.
With what?
The Blackwater, like you were saying earlier with.
You mean in insinuating that it's just a corporation doing business,
yeah,
and not,
yeah,
a collection of killers, which is what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly right. That's
well, you know, as far as carrying a weapon, I would never, ever, ever approach a political meeting. I stay away from crowds for the most part anyway. And Bill, thank you. I appreciate you checking in, man. Tell your dad I said hi, too. I appreciate the fact that both of you listen to the program. You know, carrying a handgun or being licensed to carry, there's got to be some responsibility. Most right-wingers who carry a gun do so because they have small penises and they're afraid of the Negroes and the immigrants and the Jews and the liberals. They're terrified that, a liberal is going to jump out of the bushes and, I don't know, try to make them vote Democratic or something. But There are a number of us who actually have been threatened with threats that law enforcement took as definitely serious. And that the only way to defend, you know, I'm never going to be somebody's sacrificial lamb. I've said before, and it's not boasting, and it's not macho nonsense. It's just very simple. If you want to get ass, you got to bring ass. And I truly believe that anyone who's ever been threatened by these right-wing maniacs, whether they're the Christo-fascists, which I was, or political right-wingers, that if the threats against you were serious enough for law enforcement to tell you you ought to carry a weapon, then you should. There's no doubt about it. None whatsoever. But there, and I'm not going to lecture anybody here. You do it, whatever the hell you want. But there is an awful lot of responsibility, and especially here in Georgia. In Georgia, there are laws on the books now, state laws, where if you feel that somebody is threatening you, and the language of the law is left very vague, they could come up and say, "You're a goddamn son of a bitch." That's a threat. "I'm going to punch you out." That's a threat. You can take out your gun and shoot him. And now you may be charged with manslaughter, but it's a defense. The defense now is that if you feel threatened and you are carrying a gun, you can shoot somebody if your gun is legal and lawful. So it's insanity. I mean, the whole thing is insanity. I wish I spoke Swedish. I think I'd be gone. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, another piece of disturbing news. The Weekly Standard has been sold by Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation to a Christian conservative billionaire named Philip Anschutz. He has a fortune estimated close to $8 billion. He already owns the San Francisco Examiner and the Washington Examiner newspapers. Anschutz has been an active patron of a number of religious and conservative causes. He helped fund Colorado's Amendment 2 about 10 years ago, which was designed to overturn state and local laws prohibiting discrimination against individuals on the basis of sexual orientation. In other words, another homophobe. He also funded the Discovery Institute, which promotes intelligent design as an explanation for life on this planet, and rips the hell out of evolution. And he also founded the Parents Television Council, an organization that protests against what it views as television indecency. Well, I hope they're working on getting Fox News Channel shut down. Anyway, the Weekly Standard, is a right-wing rag. The two top editors are Fred Barnes and William Kristol. And now it's definitely going to take a sharp turn toward creationism. There was an ad, according to what I've got here, placed on Fox News, and an advertisement for the Creation Museum, a commercial is what I'm trying to say. And the illustration to this piece on Fox News was a Sunday school style Jesus, you know, very, very white, very long golden locks with his white robes. Sunday school style Jesus riding a dinosaur. So, but, you know, you got to wonder where this guy, Philip Anschutz, another nice American name there, huh? How he made a fortune estimated at close to $8 billion. And to our listeners in San Francisco, I had no idea that this freak owned the Examiner. That's certainly bad news. I'm telling you, the tentacles of this Christo-fascist movement that is about, seriously, about 25 or 30 years old, the tentacles of this movement are everywhere. They really are. Television, publishing, business, corporate, the military, the government. And like I said earlier in the program, I don't think there's anyone out there who doesn't who believes in real freedom, who believes in rational thought, who believes in a modicum of logic, who has an inquisitive mind, who believes in scientific method. All those people, the progressives, the liberals, if you don't realize in your heart of hearts what is coming to this country eventually, then you are living in deep denial. You know what we're heading for. You know it's going to come. And I guess that's one of the things that's been bothering me lately is how to deal with that realization. And I haven't figured that out yet. I just know that it is a reality, and it's going to have to be dealt with. And there's several ways to deal with it. And one of them is extreme violence. So I don't know what is going to be picked. You and I certainly will be doing the picking. We will be reacting because we are logical. We are sensible. And, well, at the same time, we understand what's going on. So whatever happens with that, majority of Americans, and it is a majority, not a very big majority, but, and maybe not a majority anymore. Maybe it's not. But whatever happens with that huge multi-million member segment of the American public that does not buy into Christo-fascism, whatever happens, we will not be the ones who fire the first shot, literally or figuratively. That's been done already in a figurative way and maybe in a literal way. You know they're going after Obama. You know they're going after logic. They're going after science. They're going after anyone who cares to question military imperialism. They pretty much nailed down a huge segment, not the majority yet, but a huge segment of the officer corps in the United States military. I think they own the Air Force, but other branches, they've got a big piece of it. So, and I don't know. Nobody ever asked me, well, how are you preparing yourself, Malloy? I have no idea except to stay in good physical shape and just hope for the best, but be prepared for the worst, if you know what I mean. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Peter in Vermont was watching Hardball a little bit earlier tonight, and he writes to me about Chris Matthews about to say that the right-wing birthers are crazy, and the Obama wants to kill grandmama crowd are nuts, the birthers and the anti-healthcare crowd. But as Matthews always does, the left has all these conspiracy nuts who believe the government was involved in 9/11. Never mind that the 9/11 report is an obvious cover-up, and the birther's argument is just garbage. But here we go again with that phony equality of a crazy position and a reasonable position, which tends to marginalize those who doubt the official story of 9/11. And as Peter writes, it's corporate media pretending that the Republican Party is something other than a collection of nuts who should be shunned by polite society. Peter in Vermont. We'll be back after the break. If you're on hold, we'll take your call when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. Welcome back. 6 and a half past the hour. This is the Molloy program. Oh, my God. What a night. Got to share this with you. I haven't read through it yet. Email from Seattle from Jude. Mike, the vein you are traveling in will more than likely lead you to the Discovery Institute based here in our city of Seattle. Now, Discovery Institute is one of those that we were talking about earlier tonight. Jude writes, I've been researching and trying to pass along this information over the past several years. Although it has numerous interests, the primary focus is one called the Wedge Strategy. This is the Discovery Institute, the Wedge Strategy. They have a 20-year plan to bring into the schools of our country so-called intelligent design or creationism to be the main science to be taught. I, too, have come to realize we are observing the workings of this religious cult led by self-proclaimed false prophets following their false god of their own creation for power, money, control, falsehood, and yes, as you say, to destroy the this democratic form of government. As Chris Hedges said in his book, American Fascist, he quotes a woman who grew up in Reverend James Kennedy's church, Roberta Pugh, who writes, quote, these men suffered a loss of their own masculinity, so they have taken on this extreme form of masculine power, the power to oppress and to dominate. On the extreme end of the masculine continuum, it is the oppressive force that kills and destroys. There's no room for anything else. Everything else is a threat. The feminine is a threat. Children are a threat. Homosexuality is a threat because it embraces a feminine nurturing side among men. All power has to be concentrated at the top and be destructive, end quote. Hedges continues, quote, hypermasculinity becomes a way to compensate, especially since the unspoken truth is that Christian men are required to have a personal loving relationship with a male deity and surrender their will to a male-dominated authoritarian church. Submission to church authority, after all, is a potent form of emasculation. It entails a surrendering of conscience and personal control and deadens emotions and feelings. Glorified, continuing the quote, glorified acts of force and violence against outsiders, against non-believers, compensated for this unquestioning submission. The domination men are encouraged to practice in the home over women and children becomes a reflection of the domination they are taught to endure outside of the home. And then this statement, the movement seeks above all to banish mystery, the very essence of faith. Not only is the binary world knowable and predictable, but finally, God is knowable and predictable. End quote. And then Jude goes on, in no way will we allow the destruction of our children, and we will lay down our lives to protect them. Our schools must remain clear of this type of propaganda. Yet this is just one of thousands of issues. We need to stay focused and united during our part as close to our homes as possible, and this, as this is where our impact can be felt. For example, our city, that's Seattle's, primary election are coming up this month. One position to be voted on is King County Executive. One candidate is Susan Hutchison, who was a television news co-anchor many years ago, I believe, on KIRO. I found out recently she sat on the board of the Discovery Institute, although now it cannot be pulled up. She also refused to answer a question from Narrell Pro-Choice on local concerns about her Planned Parenthood clinic, stating, quote, it is not an issue for the county executive. peace, Jude. Yeah, I haven't read that book either, American Fascists. And that's such a salient point about these Christian, this current crop of Christian leaders. They have had their penises lopped off. They have been totally emasculated by their religion. They have to submit to another man. And this to them, of course, is unconscious homosexuality to a point that is almost intolerable. So they take it out by, I don't mean no pun intended there. They take it out in their violence. The violence, the forced submission of women and children, the violence against non-believers that don't believe in their sick, putrid religion, is so obvious. But, yeah, Hedges, is absolutely right on. These men suffer a loss of their own masculinity, so they have taken on this extreme form of fake masculine power, the power to oppress and to dominate. There's no room for anything else. Everything else is a threat. The feminine is a threat. Children are a threat. Homosexuality is a threat. All power has to be concentrated at the top and be destructive. Jesus, God. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man. See, this is why if somebody is going to adopt a religion, and I mean this very clearly and rationally, if someone is going to adopt a religious belief to satisfy whatever yearnings there might be, you know, to fill up that spiritual quest, if the fulfillment of that spiritual quest requires a structure, a religion, a belief system, then I strongly recommend, excuse me, so-called paganism or the Wiccan faith, because it embodies a duality of male and female power. There is not male dominance. There is not female dominance. I realize in some branches of Wicca, the female is considered the superior force, but I think only in the local churches or whatever. I'm sure I'll get plenty of emails on this one. But it is the dual nature of the universe, the male and the female, the yin and the yang, whatever you want to call it. I did a story that was never published years ago for Esquire magazine about a witches convention on top of a mountain here in North Georgia. What is that, where Anna Ruby Falls is? What's that? No, it's the other one, the one over near, north of, Unicoi State Park. It's in the North Georgia Mountains, and, there was, a Wiccan or witches convention there. And I went as a part, as press. I was the only press allowed, and that was only after pleading my case with the organizers that I wasn't going there to do a ooh witches story. And after about 12 hours of being immersed, there were about 70 people there, about 50 of them were female, and after being there for about 12 hours, I was so opened up, blown apart, actually. There was no way that I could keep the little battery-operated tape recorder going and interview people. So I just gave over to it completely. The only thing I did not do, I was asked to participate in a waning moon festival, and one of the women who was a priestess, I guess, wanted me to be her male counterpart in this ritual, which has nothing to do with sex, folks. Really didn't have anything to do with getting naked. And I just said, no, I appreciate the offer, but I can't because I'm still an acolyte or still just studying your faith. But I went anyway. I was invited to participate a long walk at night through the mountains, carrying candles on a predetermined path to a field, up in the mountains. A huge bonfire had been built, with a sacred circle. And the ritual that followed was just amazing. I mean, it was so sensible, so dual in its nature. The recognition of male and female, yin and yang, the balance of it all. And I thought for weeks, months, well, actually years, because here I am. And this is right around the time, I remember this because right around, I think it was the same year that Elvis Presley died. That's how I date this. But it left me with a clear understanding that if people do desire to pursue a religious structure of some sort, and the Wiccan faith is fairly unstructured, but a structure of some sort, you know, that this one made such sense, totally earth-centered. Totally spiritual in nature, no power trips, no domination, no ugliness, and a balance between male and female, the yin and the yang inside all of us. And I was just, you know, and I compare that to this crazy dominionist Christianity, and it's just, it's just scary.
border to border and coast to coast, The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
Speaking of which, I wonder where the pig man is getting his OxyContin this time. I guess he saw that video of himself with his huge man breasts underneath his black disco suit, juggling and jiggling, and decided, all right, get the bitch out on the street again. I need some more OxyContin. He'll still choke to death on his throat fat. You know he will. John is in New Bern, N.C. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I wanted to talk a little bit about something that nobody talks about, left or the right, is the most important legislation come down the pike in 96 years, and that's H.R. 1207 and S-604 to audit the Federal Reserve being the largest
right.
private corporation in the world.
And you know what? I bet that legislation does not pass.
It hasn't even come to a vote, even though in the House it has over 270 co-sponsors. That's Republicans and Democrats.
Oh, really? That many co-sponsors? Well, that's still not a majority, though, is it?
No, it's a majority of the House of Representatives.
No.
It's over half. 218 is half.
Yeah, and you, I thought you said 207.
270.
Oh, 270. Okay, well, maybe it will pass the House. Right,
they
okay.
won't. They won't talk about it. And I would recommend Aaron Russo's "Freedom to Fascism" to
uh-huh.
the people out there in America that'd like to know what's really going on.
That's a good book.
I'd also, it's a movie. Aaron Russo's "Freedom to Fascism."
Oh,
Aaron Russo was the producer.
What have I read? I've read.
I'm sure there's more than one title with that. You know, with that at least that.
And this is a film, a video. It's online.
Yeah, you can watch it online, freedomtofascism.com. I'm sure you can Google
it. Oh, okay.
It. Aaron Russo was a producer of Trading Places with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. Remember that movie?
Yes.
He also produced Bette Midler.
Right, right.
The Rose.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with him as a advocate for progressive
for freedom.
Yeah, for freedom, absolutely.
If you watch that, you'll see and you'll understand that it's not a left thing, it's not a right thing, it's a freedom thing because the
right.
people that own the world, they publicize and they finance both sides. And in the end, if you care about freedom, you should care about ending the Federal Reserve System. Because after all, you just ask people, why do we borrow money from a private corporation at interest
mm-hmm.
when Congress, Section 1, Article 1, Section 10, 8, states that Congress is supposed to coin and regulate money. They're supposed to make it.
Right. Well, you know, this is what the Zeitgeist online Zeitgeist movies are all about, too.
I recommend Zeitgeist also.
Right, right.
Absolutely.
So, you know, people who want to get the, I'm sure it's probably an abbreviated version from what Aaron Russo has put out, but you can get either one. That's good advice. Thanks, John. I appreciate you checking in. I completely agree. There's so many things that are staring us in the face that are so negative, and that happens to be one of them. If you look at the Zeitgeist movie, I think Zeitgeist Addendum, where the whole Federal Reserve thing is laid out, and just like our caller just said, you come to realize that, you know, this is insanity. This is craziness, but it's what we do. Cat Mary in Memphis writes in about Scahill, Jeremy Scahill, the one who has written about Blackwater. Cat Mary writes, a veteran friend, now deceased, frequently told us, quote, the first one that busts down my door, I'm shooting him and joining the other side, end quote. Cat Mary says, the same guy also gave me the book Blackwater, which was written by Scahill some years ago. The explosive ammunition got my particular attention. That's the stuff that, you know, when you're hit by one of the rounds, it goes into your body and then explodes. Cat Mary continues, seems the Israelis also used it in Lebanon. My, how things get around. Cat Mary disgusted in Memphis. Well, I hear you. How can people not be disgusted, right? Hank is in Berkeley, California. Hey, Hank.
You didn't drink it. You drank. This is in addition to a little coffee and some beer.
I'm sorry?
Hello?
Hello?
Mike Malloy.
Yeah, is this Hank?
Hi, Mike. This is Hank.
Oh, hi, Hank.
You came out to San Francisco where I came to see you.
Ah, okay. Hi, Hank.
And I want to ask you something about when you were talking about the priest. My father and mother escaped from Austria in 1939.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my father having told me in later years that the priests used to walk around with these little swastika pins on their lapel all over Vienna. And then the Pope, we know his history. And what he did, there is no hope in this country. If you have any opposition, it's going to be easy pickings for these people. Because the people in this country have absolutely no class consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Hank, hold on a second, will you?
Yeah.
I got to take a break. Don't go away. Just stay there. I got to do this break. In addition to the priests, don't forget what was on the belt buckle of the SS, Gott mit uns, you know, God with us. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
Yeah, indeed. 26 before the hour. We're talking with Hank, right?
Yeah.
Okay, where were we, Hank?
We were the question of the people in this country. How stupid everybody thinks they are pseudo-intellectuals.
Mm-hmm.
Or pseudo-capitalists because they own one share Coca-Cola.
Right.
In the meantime, they don't have a pot to pee in.
Right.
And they continue the illusion that they're part of the capitalist class.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the difference in Italy, fascism, Italy, when fascism came. Remember the partisans?
Mm-hmm.
How they fought the fascists, laid their lives down because they realized what it was doing to their country.
Mm-hmm. Why did your family flee Austria?
Well, because they were rounded up by the Nazis, mostly neighbors, and then forced to carry "I'm a dirty Jew" sign in Vienna.
Were your family members were Jewish?
Yes.
And they had to carry a sign that said "I'm a dirty Jew."
Right. In front of the shops they used to shop in. You know, on the cobblestones.
Right, right.
And luckily, my father escaped in the police compound, brushing the, they gave him toothbrushes to brush the cobblestones.
Mm.
And he and my mother escaped, but they weren't politically active. But the thing that I got out of it is how all their neighbors turned him in.
Mm-hmm.
The SS came and said, "Where are the Jews in this building?" And all the neighbors were willing to turn them in. And I think this is going to happen very prevalent here when we have the Nazi equivalent of the Nazi bands coming to round up people. And I agree with you, it's coming. And I don't know how you combat it because we have such a stupid... no common sense among the people. Most of these Christians are against their own interests, and yet the people believe it. I don't understand it.
I don't either, Hank. And I guess it can be written up to or written off to the idea what you just said that we We have an enormously uneducated, and I'm not necessarily talking about formal education.
Common sense.
Yeah, yeah. Uneducated population in this country. And
I mean, in Europe, the people know who are the ruling class. And right. In the days of Harry Bridges, we used to have Harry Bridges out here in the Union. I wish we had guys like that.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. Hey, Hank, thank you. I've got to move on. I hope you call in again. It's you don't call often enough. It's good to hear from you. And in listening to you, it's that quotation from Voltaire again. Anyone who has the power to make you believe absurdities has the power to make you commit atrocities. And that is so true. Not that I realize Voltaire was a great anti-Semite and all sorts of nasty things, but that statement is so true. Anyone who has the power to make you believe absurdities has the power to make you commit atrocities. I think it was Voltaire, maybe not. Regarding the explosive or fragmentation ammunition, Michael writes, we should also note that ammunition has been banned by the Geneva Convention since at least World War I. But we still make it here for commercial sale, which is how Blackwater can get its hands on the stuff. Bastards. Yeah, we make it here for commercial sale. Okay, a deadly weapon of war. And sure enough, here in the United States, we produce it. From Ford. Mike, my name is Ford. I've been listening for a number of years from Southern California. Over the past several weeks, I've become increasingly angry and depressed as this country descends full bore into the toilet. I've always argued that whereas the left basically wants to enjoy their liberty, the right insists that you believe as they do and will in the end take you to the wall and feel righteous for doing so. Because the many manifestations of the right have a mission. They will always be more organized, more aggressive, and will always catch the left back on its heels. These true believers and their Republican leaders and handlers are so self-hating, so arrested in their formation of self, they would burn everybody who is different from them at the stake with green wood. The only thing that separates us from collapse and chaos is the rule of law. Nothing else will maintain a democracy. Today, the willfully ignorant, apocalyptic-driven knuckle-draggers have been given a wink from the Republican Party and mainstream media to, you know, mix it up a little. After all, if one believes in saving the world from the non-believing hordes, then it matters little if you become a liar, a cheat, or a bully. Your recent comparison of these contemporary evildoers to Hitler's essay is right on the money. It is frightening to watch them, ever more emboldened, take more and more ground while a complacent America sleeps on. These bully boys are certainly disturbed people, but more importantly, they are dangerous and very much on the move. The alliance that has been forged between predatory capitalism and its manipulated cohorts of flag wavers, Bible thumpers, and bigots is alarming to say the least. American fascism has become acceptable. Some of its followers remain unaware of the consequences. Others can't wait to unleash its horrors. I am a duck and cover kid. I've been through all the political assassinations, interestingly, always perpetrated by lone gunmen who are obviously crazy. I've been through that, Vietnam, civil rights, watch the environment get trashed. I guess it doesn't matter if we're with Jesus. But right now, it seems like there is a quickening of sorts. Even the slugs on Wall Street don't want to save the playing field for their evil spawn. They realize that the curtain is coming down, for there's only so much one can squeeze out of the poor and dwindling middle class. I don't know what the little stud offspring of these criminals are going to do. After all, to make an honest living, you've got to be some sort of a fool, a schmo, or a weakling. To be respected as one of the guys, you got to be working a scam or some angle. You know, everybody cuts a few corners here and there. Well, come to think of it, that's the American way. It really seems like so many of us are living in a world in which we collude with each to stay dumb. I won't say anything if you don't, because it's all just too uncomfortable. A major part of drug company profits are derived from selling us meds to handle this huge dissociation and attendant symptoms. The hottest circle of hell should be reserved for hypocrites and those who don't have the honesty to acknowledge what's coming. Oh, geez, I had no idea things would turn out this way. I guess I should have paid more attention or something. Look at the current debate on health care. The education system continues to degrade. The so-called media is paid off for living in fear. Everything turns out to be spin or outright lies. What is to be one's response? Suicide or homicide? Or maybe eat, drink, and be a merry spectator. Maybe throw sand in the gears for amusement. I sense a weariness out there. It's all just too much. If the rule of law is just a sad joke, and the truth just some old, quaint inconvenience, then let anarchy descend. Best you, Mike. Keep on keeping on. Ford. Ay, 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 ay. Steve is in Austin, Texas. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Very sobering evening.
Yeah, way too much. Way too much for me. But
yeah, thanks. Thanks for let me follow Hank's call, which was heartrending, and then the email. But, geez, I'm just totally thrown off. I'm sorry.
Well, do you want me to put you on hold and?
No.
Oh, okay.
Regarding the Blackwater Bunch.
Yeah.
I always suspected something, you know, very evil.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
But now with what's coming out in this civil suit, which can only beget more, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
or hopefully,
mm-hmm.
I really had no idea. And I suspected that all these Christian nutballs were you know, way off.
Right.
But I had no idea how deeply immersed that this Blackwater Bunch, and I'm sure they're probably not alone. They're just the leader on Wall Street as far as that goes. And that's it's good to hear it finally exposed for what it is. And like I say, hopefully more will be.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a little surprised at my naivete at 57 after going through the Watergate years. And
well, don't. Be careful of feeling, naive or, gee, how did I miss it? Because so much of this stuff goes on under the radar. The only reason... that I'm aware of it and have been tracking these rat bastards for the past 20 years is because what I said earlier in the program, because of the violent threats against me, where every night when I left work, I'd have a patrol car show up so I could walk across the goddamn parking lot at midnight for fear of getting shot. And there, so much of this goes way below the radar and worse, Steve, not just below the radar, but under the guise of being a religious belief. And, you know, the terminally brain dead still believe that these people are talking about a fey kind of limp-wristed Christ who believed in turning the other cheek and bring the little lambs to me and, oh boy, don't I love children, when in fact their Christ is a murderous, snarling beast right out of the pits of hell. Steve, I got to leave it there. Thanks, pal. Appreciate you checking in. Thanks to Ben Birch, our technical advisor, who is probably putting up the new Malloy Uncensored Mailbag video even as we speak. It'll be there tomorrow for podcast subscribers. It's a doozy. Had to take my shoes off for this one. Thanks to Ben Birch. Sharon Gordy is our military affairs correspondent. Bruce Enberg, our economic advisor, and both Sharon and Bruce provided me with a whole bunch of stuff tonight that I just didn't get to because of this this Blackwater thing. We'll get to it tomorrow, guys, for sure. The program's ethical advisors are Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf. Our engineer and executive producer is Catherine Bay. Back to your phone calls. Damien is in Seattle listening on KPTK. Hey, Damien.
Hey, Mike.
How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
I'm just kind of halfway between hopeful and pessimistic about this revelation regarding these two extraordinarily brave souls who
Get
this information regarding Blackwater.
Yeah, for sure.
But the reason I called tonight was I wanted to forward a crazy commie idea that is based on something I heard a caller just mention in passing on a Randy Rhodes show last week. And that is a way to deal with all this misinformation and lies and deceit that we see from, you know, everyone basically on the other side of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing the person said was they wanted to see something called the Walter Cronkite Act.
Walter Cronkite Act?
And so I got to thinking about, well, what would that entail? And I went and I listened again to your memorial podcast regarding Walter Cronkite, and he was far before my time. I wasn't even born by the time he retired. But here's what I figured that might entail.
Okay.
You can tell me if this is just sheer madness. But it would be basically six components. One, require news to contain content that is to the best knowledge of the newscasters to be truthful. Two, require opinion and commentary shows to be identified as such.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, say, Fox News, it would be Fox Opinion Network, or FOE,
right,
which is apropos. Three, require demarcation between news and commentary content of broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Four, require isolation of newscast and commentary content from the marketing and advertising divisions of news organizations. So no more Morning Joe paid for by Starbucks. Five, not that I ever watch a show, but I saw it once and it just disgusted me that they did that. Five, require independence of news editors and executive management from exertion of parent company influence.
Okay, look, Damien, let me stop you, because everything that you're saying will never happen, A, B, it's impossible. Let's start with number one. To say that someone, a newscaster who has to understand that what he or she is saying is true is impossible for one quick reason. Most of these anchors are really news readers. They some of them write some of their own copy, but most of them read what is handed to them, and they rely on their supervising producers and their senior editors to make sure to do all the fact checking. They don't pay any attention to that. These are multi-million dollar stars of the three networks, and they don't really have the kind of knowledge. If you get one of these guys in a conversation, and I have at CNN, you get one of them in a conversation, and it's like talking to an actor, like a Hollywood or a Broadway actor. A Hollywood or Broadway actor, as long as they have lines to say, they can be very impressive. They can do wonders on a stage or in a film.
Yeah.
But once they're out of character, they're completely blank. That's why so many good actors are good actors, because there's no there to begin with, and all they have to do is learn their lines and follow the director's instructions, and the character emerges, because there's no actor to begin with. The same is true with these anchor people. So everything that you're saying is a physical impossibility. As far as network news is concerned, and it's all corporate news, they are not going to allow their anchor people to separate commentary from news reporting. If they did that, then the anchors would have to report, all the anchors at NBC would have to report that General Electric is the nation's biggest polluter and one of the world's biggest weapons manufacturer responsible for death on five continents. And that's not going to happen. Not even Keith Olbermann dares to do that. So it's not going to happen. I don't want to be the skunk at the picnic here with your ideas. But I love your ideas. They're very altruistic. They're very real world, but not this world.
Yeah,
they're real world in some other dimension.
Well, I just threw them out there because I knew that I understand. You would be able to listen and say, okay, reality check. But there is one last one, the sixth one.
Okay, go ahead.
Maybe is feasible, is to require news channels and cable and satellite services to be banded together. Because right now, mm-hmm. Fox News gets separated and put into basic, and all the others are being left up in the extended basic tier. So the poorest people only have one choice.
Well, that's by design, and due to the fact that Rupert Murdoch has powerful friends in the U.S. Congress, his most powerful friend is no longer there, and that was Newt Gingrich, who paved the way, smoothed the way for Rupert Murdoch to become an American citizen so he could start Fox News and all this other garbage to begin with. But by design, Fox News is the only one that's included in basic cable, because the cable operators, the satellite operators, are in on it too. It's a whole monstrous scam, Damien, and I love you like a brother, but there is no way any of this is going to happen. So, I'll tell you what to do. Take what you've written and put it in a capsule for your children or grandchildren, if you have any, so that they can look back at what dad or grandpa or great-great-great-great-great-grandpa had as an idea, and they'll love you and respect you for it. Damien, I got to go. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. I really, really do. I'll see you all tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Individual results.